I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the second part of my series with Jonathan Cho, looking at Seattle's homeless crisis ahead of the World Cup. Today we go to Chinatown and things get dicey. Plus, a Seattle library runs a class for safe injections, and another school district allegedly failing to report allegations of abuse. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Don't forget to take advantage of our once yearly promo. We only do this once a year, so if you've been freeloading, watching only free episodes, now is your time to become a full paid subscriber, participate in our daily show polls, catch episodes of Sundays with subscribers, all the good stuff that comes along with it. Go to patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Today we have part two of our series looking at how the city of Seattle is trying to deal with its homelessness and drug crisis ahead of the World Cup. So our friend Jonathan Cho, who covers homelessness better than anyone for Discovery Institute, I hit the streets with him, and he really believes that what the city of Seattle is trying to do is sort of quarantine the open-air drug abuse and homelessness situation into two zones that are outside of the immediate downtown core and outside of the stadium district. So yesterday we took you to Belltown, which is north of like Pike Place Market, far enough away where you're probably not going to have an awful lot of tourists wandering up that way. But the real horror show, I will say, is unfolding in the Chinatown International District, which, again, I think is far enough away from the stadiums where if they push the homeless from SoTo over into the Chinatown International District, you're not going to have an awful lot of World Cup fans who end up wandering over there and seeing just how bad Seattle's drug crisis has become. And I will tell you, before we play today's video, there are some things that are pretty difficult to watch. There are some things that we had to blur to please the YouTube overlord. But also you're going to see, I think, just how really horrifying what the city of Seattle is doing to the Chinatown ID truly is. About a half a mile from where World Cup games are going to be played next month is Seattle's Chinatown International District. And it's where the worst of the city's drug crisis is playing out in broad daylight.
12th and Jackson, Little Saigon, all part of the Chinatown International District. We're surrounded by drug addicts. It's crazy. Look at this. Look at this guy completely hunched over in the blue hoodie right there between the telephone pole. That's a fentanyl fold right there. They're not homeless. They're out here just to do drugs. I mean, this is the chaos and hell we're going to be going into.
The guy in the wheelchair knows me. He's pulling out his cell phone. Need a ratchet set? Good. Hey, Grandma. What are you selling? Chocolates. How much are chocolates?
$2.49.
What's up, guys?
People look at 12th and Jackson and will immediately think that's a homeless issue. But yeah, the vast majority of the people there have housing. But it's turned into a community hangout where people can buy drugs, sell stolen goods, you know, sling more drugs. So this culture out here needs, and this open-air drug market needs to be broken up. Yeah. We need more officers out here. We need more patrols. We need people, you know, we need foot patrols. I haven't seen any cops. We've been on the streets today.
They've been in cars, but not on the beat.
But they're not coming out on the ground, and that's what we need more of here. Otherwise, this continues to flourish.
Oh, you put out the fire? Thank you. Thank you for putting out the fire.
Behind me right now is Summit Sierra High School. It's a Seattle magnet school. It's just a few feet away from this open-air drug den near 12th and Jackson. Parents, teachers have been complaining now for years. And instead of addressing this and completely getting rid of this, the compromise now is for cops to walk with the kids, escort them to the bus stops after school. So obviously just a Band-Aid solution.
Wow.
If you look at the city maps, the CID is still part of the downtown core. But you don't have the DSA people here. Mm-hmm. How come? Why don't we have the same priority in outreach? How come? For example, the last time around during the All-Star game, Chinatown businesses got totally shut out. So I know some of them are going to be telling Mayor Wilson, hey, we can't go through part two of that because it's going to be devastating for our businesses. Because keep in mind where all the games are going to be played. It's going to be in Soto. It's going to be in Lumen Field. It's only minutes, blocks from Chinatown ID. That's the traffic and business they need.
In the encampments and drug dealing spread out from this central hub of criminal activity, Cho drove me to two nearby parks that have been completely overrun with drug users and dealers.
This is the problem. Lewis Park. The disaster. The park's been swept so many times, but we'll see if the tents have returned yet, because they will.
One of the most beautiful views of the city, too.
Yeah. In this little nook, you see the Seattle Park sign.
Yep.
That nook in there is insane.
How many people would you say are in there?
I mean, this is just the daytime. At night, I'd say more than 100.
Wow.
Right now, we're probably going to see maybe 20, 30. At any point you're not comfortable, any point you're just...
And do people know you up here?
Maybe. Look at everyone doing Fetty. There's fentanyl oil everywhere. Notice how they're just staring at us. So.
Do you go here? Like, does this lead anywhere?
Yeah, there's a path in the back.
Are we going to be okay?
Yeah. Fellas. No, I don't need Fetty. It's all good. Those are the hondos.
Yeah.
Watch your step here. What's up, bro? How you doing, player?
I remember you.
Yeah, what's up? Good to see you, man. Come on, Brady, we're going to go up here. Yeah. What up, fellas? You good? You good, girl? Good to see you again. What's up, player?
Wow.
What do you think, Brandy?
I mean, I understand why they choose that location, but this should be a park where people can enjoy it. There's homes right here. That's the biggest concentration of active drug use I've seen in 15 years in Seattle. In terms of active actually using in the moment.
Not only drug use, you had dealers offer me.
Twice.
Twice, and you heard it.
Yeah.
You need some? You need some? You need any? And those are the Hondurans.
Yeah.
This place is out of sight, out of mind. It's perfect. Okay, there's even more, so.
Yeah. There's my Lime bike.
Yeah. Here's your Lime bike. Hey, man, you okay, man?
Yeah,
fine. You using a needle right now?
No.
Okay. Sorry, fellas, we're out of here. Thank you, guys. Be safe. Be safe. Hey, we gotta get going. I've been outed. Start moving now. Don't look back. Don't look back. He just heard me. He just saw me. I heard him say Jonathan Cho. That's Jonathan Cho. We're... There's an out here on the right.
The perils of being out with Jonathan Cho.
Yeah, welcome to
my
office.
I didn't expect to have to run today.
Yeah, that was a little wild.
And you usually do that alone?
I do. I mean, who's going to come with me? This is a massive risk, right?
It is.
It's a safety risk, and that was one of the craziest scenes during the day.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that during the day.
Same. I have to say, 15 years covering homelessness here, in terms of just out in the open, no necessity to hide it, concentration of people selling and using, that can exist in a first world country is insane. It's a huge risk to do that, right? But if you weren't doing it, nobody'd see it.
Who's going to show the raw realities on the streets? I mean, we've gotten to this point where no one believes what's going on.
But we weren't quite done yet. Jonathan wanted to show me one more park that's been taken over by homeless drug addicts. And for the sake of symbolism, it's a very appropriate place to end the story.
Look at that. Look at that view. Okay. One of the best views of the city. People nodding off from drug abuse in a park that should be for kids. This should be packed with kids. Look at that. Playground equipment, empty, giant tent with people using drugs, right there. What a shame. What a disgusting excuse for leadership. Wow. Wow. I don't know if you could get a better picture that defines Seattle than that.
Yeah.
This is your shot, he said. Indeed it is. We appreciate Jonathan Cho taking so much time to show us what he's been seeing out on the streets. And look, as I said, there's no way Seattle can deal with the issue that's been getting worse for 15 years before the World Cup, but they shouldn't make these decisions based on high-profile events like the All-Star Game, go in and sweep, you guys know this, the World Cup. It's like, no, we need to have a strategy that actually works. And is it better to have the drug addicts and the gang members and the drug dealers up in a wooded area off Chinatown ID than it is, you know, on 3rd and Pine? I guess, if you're sure, is that better? I guess, but it's not better for the people who live there. It's not better for the houses where that is literally their backyard. And as far as 12th and Jackson goes, I mean, you know, the Democrats want to talk so much, the total identitarianism, right? And DEI, and one thing Jonathan told me that stuck with me is, what about DEI for the Asian community? You know, but the difference is the Asian community isn't asking for special treatment. They're just asking for basic respect as taxpayers and not to have the city's entire drug crisis and drug dealing apparatus thrust upon them and nothing done about it. I mean, former Mayor Bruce Harrell was on that exact corner. You remember this? Like, I want to say 3 years ago. And remember, he was having a photo op, painting some of the graffiti away on 12th and Jackson. And now look at 12th and Jackson today. So Belltown neighborhood screwed for the World Cup. Chinatown International District screwed for the World Cup. And that doesn't mean that downtown is going to be safe. We talked about this on the show yesterday, that random brutal attack on an elderly man. That was at 3rd and Pine. And as part of this, you know, and I think we'll end up doing another follow-up, because one thing I want to look at is that downtown core, because I did spend some time down there as well. So maybe I'll talk about this a little bit on the show tomorrow. I wasn't planning to do a part three. We'll do it a mini part three. You know, this whole area, and it's just vacant storefronts everywhere, vacant storefronts. And the city tries to make 3rd Avenue and 2nd Avenue and 1st Avenue look better by putting up, you know, artwork. Or instead of like empty storefronts, it'll be art inside the storefront. It's like, okay, you still don't have stores down there. You still don't have businesses down there. But I did walk on 3rd Avenue, which between Pike and Pine, so a block off of Pike Place Market, is typically where the open air markets of stolen goods, the real concentration of substance abuse has been. And it wasn't there when I was there a couple Fridays ago. Although, as we saw yesterday with the video of the violent attack on the elderly man, there's still a criminal element down there for sure. But the city hasn't made anything better. And that really is the key. City hasn't made anything better at all. And at the end of the World Cup, they'll probably allow this whole element to just go back wherever it pleases. So hopefully you enjoyed that series. Again, I think I'll do a mini part three tomorrow to talk about some of the business element in the downtown area that they're trying to keep pristine ahead of the World Cup. Just horrific. All right, coming up next, speaking of homelessness, we got two interesting stories, one on libraries and tiny house villages. And again, I think both of these stories will illustrate just why what Seattle is doing is not working to deal with the crisis. First, a lot of investors right now are focused on AI, crypto, tech, but the real story is in energy with what's happening in the Middle East. A good question to ask your advisor is, are they underestimating energy's impact on your portfolio? Join Bulwark Capital's Zach Abraham for his free Impact of Energy live webinar. It's happening May 21st at 3:30 p.m. Pacific. Zach will explain how every market is driven by energy, the impact energy has on inflation, how that could potentially affect your retirement plan. Plus, he'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Impact of Energy webinar May 21st at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, totally free. Register now at knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. While you're there, you can also subscribe to Zach's daily market recap and his daily podcast. You can do it there. He's on YouTube, all the different platforms. Just search at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay. Maybe we should give Cho like a little producing reporting credit for today's show. I think maybe I need to pay him as like a contributor to the show, because we have a little bit of reporting from him on the homelessness drug front. So apparently, and this is exclusive to Jonathan Cho, the Seattle Public Library is allowing the People's Harm Reduction Alliance, you know all about harm reduction, to hold classes at a publicly funded library about how to use drugs safely. Again, there's no such thing as safe drug use, but they're going to teach you how to use drugs safely. Here's a little clip from Jonathan's story.
Are these free? Cool. Here for the training?
I am.
Same. What's up? I don't know, you keep staring at me. I'm just like, what's going on? No, I mean, all Asians don't look the same. Now it is, man. These white people think we all look the same.
I'm Zelda.
What's up, Zelda? How are you?
Welcome to this class. For my own comfort, I'm going to ask everyone to please put your phones away, off table, where I can't see them. I'm going to ask no pictures, no recordings during this time.
My question is, what do you have to hide? Don't you want this to get out to the public, Zelda? I just wanted to know if there was any safe way to do fentanyl, because the DEA says one pill can kill, yet you guys are giving out fentanyl test strips and, you know, supplies to do drugs.
He's breaking into hives.
And then, you know, I get the nasal spray here, but the needles, how do you, I mean, it's difficult to inject these even for nurses and doctors without hitting a vein. So I'm trying to learn how you would inject these.
We're asking folks to exit.
Oh, is this over?
Yeah.
It's over and everyone needs
to. Oh, you canceled it. Why would you cancel it, Zelda? Do you have any material that focuses on recovery and treatment first instead of just enablement?
The training is canceled.
Well, I have a question for Zelda.
Zelda doesn't have to answer your question.
Are you Zelda's PR now?
Okay. No.
Okay. Well, I'd like to ask Zelda. No? So this box that was given out by Seattle Public Library along with the People's Harm Reduction Alliance, two syringes inside, and then these two vials of naloxone, which is also known again as Narcan. There it is. These are
insane.
Being given out for free. Kids can access this anytime. Somehow we're supposed to figure out how to put the Narcan, naloxone, into this syringe now and inject it into people overdosing. And there are instructions here as well. You can figure this out in an emergency.
Publicly funded library. And they canceled the class and kicked everyone out because Jonathan was documenting what they were doing. Again, you don't want, isn't the point to teach people? Like, can you imagine, you know, people canceling a CPR class because you were documenting the proper method for CPR? It's like, no, they'd be like, yeah, please record it, put it out there. We want everyone to know. Clearly, they're ashamed of what they're doing. Clearly, they're ashamed of what they're doing. And as he asked them, do you have anything on helping with treatment? And I don't have an issue with the naloxone Narcan thing. I don't have an issue with that. There are a lot of reasons why you could be equipped with that, different jobs that you could be in. And I don't have, I'm not one of the people that's like, let them die. No, you have something, put it in your nose, you know, let's try to give them another chance at life. I think that's the humane, moral thing to do. But needles, again, no help, not in there talking about how can we get people help and treatment after you give them the Narcan. After you spray whatever up their nose or inject them, then the next step is try to get them help. But of course, they're not interested in doing that. It's fascinating, but it's very similar to the Washington State Department of Health ads that you've probably seen on TV. They run these ads, which I have to imagine cost a ton of money. We should do a public records request for how much they spent on them because they're very well produced. But it's those don't use alone ads where they don't tell people not to use. They say, don't use alone, use with a friend. And they're giving you all these tips on how to continue to use and do so, quote unquote, safely or more safely. There's no safe way to use fentanyl. There's no safe way to use most drugs. Absolutely shameful. And one of the things I love about Jonathan is he has no fight or flight, no shame. He will sit there and he will ask them questions till they cancel the whole class, and he's not going to give in. And meanwhile, this is happening. Well, the city of Seattle is sending a $480 million library levy to voters. $480 million. So these massive libraries that very few people go to can have open space to hold classes on how to properly use drugs? can let the homeless come in there and watch porn on the public computers, which happens all the time? I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll, do you believe taxpayers should continue to fund libraries or should they be privatized? I vote for privatization. If you want, I mean, at this stage with this level of technology,
I think they should be all online. Why do we need someplace to go? You can access everything via the internet now. So you can even rent books from the library online.
Right. And if you're talking about, oh, internet access, some people go there for internet access or whatever it is. It would cost less to give people who qualify like a coupon or a rebate for internet access.
Right.
And probably even to buy them a computer than it would to spend $480 million on libraries that very few people using.
There's already so many programs giving people that need it internet. So I don't think you need to go to the library to get internet. So I think everything from the library is available online through the library system. So just have somebody man the library system online.
Sure.
And if you need a book, like maybe you can be shipped a book or whatever it is. Maybe do something like that because it's not really going to be a thing.
And then you could like downsize, right? You could just have like the equivalent of internet cafes that are publicly funded. Then if that's the case, and then they can access all these different books. But I will say our subscribers disagree with us. 65% of you say it should continue to be public. Lynn says with appropriate rules so all the public can enjoy them. Kelly, it's a tough question, but I still think there's a reason for them to be publicly funded. Libraries have become gathering places in addition to providing valuable services for the community, especially in rural areas. But I do agree they also become places of indoctrination, porn consumption, all of that. Libraries are still the only place you can get factual information and true historical accounts. Privatizing them would destroy that. I just think it's an outsized expense. $480 million? Are you kidding me? Absolutely wild. Janice, when my kids were young, we went to the library regularly. My girls loved it and both still use the library today with their children. You just can't afford to buy books for your kids as they grow up. And I get it more with kids. But I mean, in Seattle, I did not think for a lot of the libraries, that's what's going on.
They got to do something because this is out of control.
Yeah, but I do understand.
The drag queen story time, all this, like, stop.
Like, let's stop it and let's see if we can save a little money, right? Absolutely wild. One more thing on the homeless front I just want to note because we'll probably talk about it tomorrow. So according to Fox 13 today, the Seattle City Council is supposed to vote on an emergency ordinance that will expand tiny house usage in building ahead of the World Cup. Again, this is the socialist mayor's plan to try to deal with, hide the homeless. It's her plan to hide the homeless before the World Cup. Let's put them in tiny houses, which we know they just go in the tiny house and they continue to use drugs. There's plenty of video of this. These things are a magnet for crime, for substance abuse. They just go in there and live in filth and squalor. So yeah, just insane. And they're going to raise some of the occupancy limits at some of the existing tiny house locations from like 100 to 250, but they have trouble filling some of the tiny houses. Like, remember there was Andrea Suarez did that story on that woman who got one, but then she left immediately and went back to her tent because she said there was mold in it or something. So what a failed effort. What a failed effort from a mayor who's already failed at her job in just 5 months. Wild. One other quick note. We've been following a few legal challenges to laws that were passed this year in Washington State. Of course, we know that the income tax challenge is probably going to be lengthy. I would imagine the constitutional challenge against that is going to take a couple years to resolve. As you know, the referendum for the income tax was rejected by the state Supreme Court. So we expect that Let's Go Washington is going to run an initiative. I would expect that this year. Some people are talking about next year to be out of this midterm cycle, but we will see. Another bill that's been the subject of legal challenges is that sheriff's bill. So the bill that is now law or would have been law had it not been blocked by a lower court that would allow bureaucrats to remove duly elected sheriffs. And so the state of Washington, because they're so committed to removing the sheriffs that you put in office, they filed some sort of emergency motion to get the state Supreme Court to try to overturn that Thurston County judge's ruling, because the Thurston County county judge laid into the state last week. She's like, it seems like you don't trust voters. Seems like the legislature, you know, really, really stretched beyond its constitutional authority. So the attorney general's office tried to appeal. And even the very progressive state Supreme Court said, no, that's all right. This is from the Washington State Standard. WA Supreme Court rejects state's attempt to unblock sheriff eligibility law. It says Deputy Commissioner Walter Burton agreed with sheriffs challenging the law that the status quo from past years should remain while litigation continues, even as candidates for sheriff filed to run for election this week. So this was reviewed by a deputy commissioner for the Washington State Supreme Court. So it's like less than the judges obviously reviewing it, but it was kicked to him. He said denying a stay essentially means that the system that has long been in place will continue for the time being. Petitioners do not show that immediate harm is likely to result from at least temporarily maintaining this status quo. And that makes sense, right? How can they say, oh, it's an emergency. It's an emergency that you let our new law take effect. Well, how can it be an emergency when, you know, for years and years and years, we haven't had a law allowing you to remove duly elected sheriffs? So he's saying, let's just keep going with the way it's always been. And then at the end of the day, if you win in court, you can implement your new law. I'll tell you why it's an emergency, because they are so eager to get Keith Swank out of office. They are so eager to remove that man from office. But I do love that the state of Washington and the AG's office and Democrats had a couple bad weeks in the court system because they don't see those very often. So a few updates there. All right, a serious story coming up next. Another example of a school district failing at its legal mandate to be mandatory reporters of alleged abuse. It's from our friend Alicia Perkins with OSD Rescue in our segment Unbelievable. First, if you are a landlord in the state of Washington, times are tough right now. You might be thinking about selling units, getting units in a different state or whatever it is. But I would say it's really important to have an advocate in your corner helping you navigate these difficult times. That is the Rental Housing Association of Washington. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. They can help you on an individual basis, keep up with changing laws and regulations, even help you make sure you have the right forms for screening tenants, etc. They have events across the state all year long. I've been to many of them. So if you're interested in talking about housing policy, learning about housing policy, those events are fun for anyone. A lot of drinking going on at the RHA events, which do you blame them, really? Do you blame them? And the Building Industry Association of Washington. Very, very heavy alcohol consumption. But again,
they like to party.
Do you blame them? I don't blame them at all.
I have to deal with a lot.
Anyway, I'm sure RHA doesn't want this in their ad, so I'll continue on. And they're also advocating in Olympia on your behalf. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. All right, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, this is another example of a public school district failing to report to police, as they're required to do under law, allegations of abuse, in this case brought about by a student. We've done stories like this before. We had the Puyallup female wrestler who told school staff that she was sexually assaulted during a match by a biological boy who she hadn't been told was a biological boy. And they buried it for 2 months before going to police. And only after we started digging into the story and asking questions. And that seems to be a theme here of one of the very important reasons why the initiative to restore parental rights needs to be passed in November. Schools should not have the ability to hide secrets from parents. And really, in this regard, they don't today. They are mandatory reporters under the law, which means even if they have an accusation brought to them by a student of sexual abuse or whatever it is, and they think that it's totally made up, they think there's no credibility to it at all, they don't get to be the arbitrators of credibility. Their job is to report. And I would think that they would want to do that just to get it off their plate. Like, hey, I'm not going to investigate this. And I have a duty, so I'm just going to tell the police, and the police can take over the investigation. So in the Olympia School District, not only is there a case of this, not reporting to police immediately, but the school district decided to take an investigation upon itself, and in doing so, potentially gave the perpetrator an opportunity to get rid of evidence. So this is from our friend Alicia Perkins, who runs a Substack called OSD Rescue. If you have not subscribed by now, again, she writes about education issues better and in more depth than anyone else. The headline, sexual misconduct allegations against Olympia High School staffer sent to prosecutor for a second review. Prosecutor had initially declined charges, but the case was resubmitted after the student identified the staff member. So this is going to get into the weeds a little bit, but I need you to follow me for the reveals here because it's really quite insane. So this student, a boy,
ended up allegedly telling his counselor that he was having a sexual relationship with a teacher that was 10 years his senior. So the counselor goes and tells the principals of the school, and they decide to investigate on their own. So it says, according to police records, on May 15th, 2025, so this takes us back a year, the Olympia Police Department received a report of alleged sexual misconduct involving an Olympia High School student and a staff member. Two assistant principals reported that their administrative assistant, quote, had intercourse with one of the students. So in the police report that's detailing this call they got from the school district, it says, this is the officer's writing of the events and the order of things. I spoke with the assistant principals who stated that a few weeks ago, the student had disclosed to one of the school counselors and another therapist that he was in a relationship with an older female, which escalated into suspicions that he was dating one of the school teachers a few weeks ago. So May 15th is when police got the report. A few weeks before that is when the student had disclosed they were in a sexual relationship with some staffer at the school. And at the time, the student didn't say who, told a counselor and a therapist, because this student's going through some challenges, which aren't they always? The ones who are vulnerable and who are potential victims, they're always some sort of, you know, challenges that they're dealing with in life that make them particularly vulnerable to this. So school already waits a couple weeks, which is criminal. We could end the story there. We could end the story there, and those two assistant principals should be prosecuted criminally. But it gets even worse. So it says in this police report what had been happening. So over the last couple weeks, the two assistant principals had began gathering information, including requesting that one of their office assistants check CCTV cameras for suspicious activity at the school. The administrative assistant told them that she didn't see anything suspicious on the cameras, apart from the student going into a bathroom after each class. The administrative assistant suspected that he went to the bathroom to vape. Okay? So the two assistant principals started to suspect, well, maybe he's dating a substitute teacher and it's not somebody who's in the school on a regular basis, because our administrative assistant is telling us that she doesn't see anything suspicious on the CCTV cameras. So maybe this is a staff member who's not here on a regular basis. Okay. So then you go to May 15th when they call and report it. So it says the two assistant principals called the student's mother and sister and spoke with them on the phone to get more information as to who this kid had been dating. So the mom and the sister identify the name of the staffer. And guess who it was that they allege? The administrative assistant. The administrative assistant that the two principals had asked to investigate. That the two principals asked to go look at the CCTV footage. See if you see anything suspicious. Well, the allegation is that it would have been her that would have been doing something suspicious. So you see what not reporting to the police immediately does? If she indeed did something and she's denying it, which is why we're not naming her, because she hasn't been charged with a crime as of yet. But by waiting 2 weeks and doing their own investigation, like, what are they, Sherlock Holmes? Doing their own investigation, they might have put the actual perpetrator in charge of the investigation. Absolutely insane. So the initial, mom and daughter share what they've been told by this kid, says he slept with the administrative assistant several times in her car and once at a residence. They would see each other on Sundays. The administrative assistant would pick him up from home. They would meet near the school. He told his sister that he was seeing her and believed that she was in her late 20s, but he found out that she was in her late 30s and became upset and would not go into more detail about the relationship. Okay, so here's what happens. When the school now has the information from the sister and mom that it might be this administrative assistant, they put her on leave. But the boy still won't confirm it. So the boy still won't give police a name. So May 15th, the AA is, I think that they're just giving those initials because it's administrative assistant, was placed on administrative leave and a report was filed with the Olympia Police Department. Detectives attempted two separate interviews with the student starting May 20th, 2025, but he was hesitant to name the woman he had allegedly been in a relationship with. He did claim that the woman was more than 10 years older than him and the relationship was sexual in nature, but at no time did the student name the individual to detectives. On September 8th, so this investigation's going on for a while, detectives interviewed AA at her home. When asked why she'd been placed on administrative leave, she said, quote, "A student made a false allegation against me." During her interview, she also suggested that the student was, quote, "texting a burner phone, fabricating all of this," and speculated that the family was, quote, "looking for a payout." Looking for a payout. So fast forward a year, and this takes us up to the present time. So there was a new supplemental police report that was filed on April 27th. And that is because the boy decided to name his alleged abuser, because minors can't consult to sexual relationships with school staffers, obviously. It says, on March 25th, 2026, Detective Wood and I responded to Olympia High School to speak with the student after hearing that he had disclosed that the female with whom he was in a relationship was, in fact, the administrative assistant. The student now reported to officers that he had been in a relationship with AA, which lasted for almost a month, and ended when he told his therapist and the school got involved. The student stated that he did not want to deal with the cops and did not want anything to happen to AA. He claimed to have had sex with AA 5+ times, which is an allegation that AA denied. It says, in light of the new statements made by the student who now identified the school employee whom he allegedly had sex with, a new supplemental report was referred for renewed review to the Thurston County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. So that review is happening as we speak. There are so many insane things in this story. And again, innocent until proven guilty, innocent until proven guilty. But you know the way the school district washes its hands of all of it? By following the law and mandatory reporting to police. Not waiting a few weeks. Not doing their own ragtag investigation where they assign an administrative assistant, a woman, at the school to the task of reviewing CCTV footage to look for anything suspicious when it turns out she's the individual the kid says he was having sex with. Yeah. So we're going to wait for a decision from the Thurston County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. And you better believe if they decide to charge that woman, we will absolutely name her then. But there's a broader issue here. And that is that the police have to start prosecuting school administrators, staff, whoever it is that don't report to police. Because there is a time frame there. They need to report it immediately to police. And until you start prosecuting them and throwing them in jail, that is absolutely not going to change. Unbelievable. All right, coming up next, we'll get to some national news. Also got to talk about the gas prices. I took a picture of the marquee when I left home today. And I'm used to high gas prices in Washington State. But even I was shocked when I left my house, the first gas station I saw, how bad it was. $6.08. $6.08.
I think it might go down later today or tomorrow, they're saying, because the barrels went down the end of the day yesterday.
We'll see.
I don't know.
Gassing up today. If you need to save some money, because I don't know, gas prices are so high, reach out to our friends at First Mark Insurance, firstmarkinsurance.com, and have them take a second look at your insurance. Find out if you're paying too much, if you're paying for insurance you don't even need. Mike and I, on our renewal this year, they were able to save us thousands of dollars for the year by just being proactive and double-checking our policies, double-checking our needs, etc. So many of you are now members of the First Mark family, and I get why. I get wonderful stories from you all the time. I'm saving $100 a month. I'm saving $800 a month. There's a woman we spoke to who's saving $12,000 a year, which is wild. So there is no downside to taking the First Mark challenge. Yeah, it takes you a little time. You got to have a conversation with them on the phone about your insurance needs, but they're very friendly, I promise. And they're a local company, so you're not going to be talking to someone in Timbuktu. You're going to be talking to someone right here in Washington State who can help you navigate the complex world of insurance. They'll go out, they'll shop their market of carriers, come back to you with their recommendations. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company, so they always have your best interest in mind. All right, just really quick, before we get to what President Donald Trump is saying about gas prices, we're number two. We're number two. So we just overtook Hawaii
to have the second highest gas prices in the nation. Below California. We've only beat California once. Was that last summer or the summer before?
I think it was...
Summer before? Or last summer?
I think it was while Biden was still there. So I want to say it was two.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was while Biden was still there. So in California, $6.16. Washington State, the average $5.75. Hawaii, $5.66. But like I said, it was $6.08. The first gas station I saw this morning.
Yeah, the one near me, it was over six.
Yeah, and ugh. I don't have to reiterate the fact that...
It looks wrong.
But, of course, if we didn't have all the insane taxes and climate policies, we wouldn't be in quite a world of hurt. But we are honest on this show, and the national average is $4.54. That's very high, and that's not good, and it's not good for President Trump in the middle of an election year. But he says that it is a small price to pay for not being taken out by a nuke.
I also thought oil would go up to 200, 250, maybe 300. And I knew it would be short term, but I thought it would go. I looked today, it's like at 102. And that's a very small price to pay for getting rid of a nuclear weapon from people that are really mentally deranged.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that as of yet. But I also know that I'm going to be okay if gas is a little higher, and that there is a lot of people who won't be okay if gas stays where it's at. So I think for every individual person, it is a matter of how much does this truly impact my life, and how I'm weighing that against what's happening in Iran. However, I do appreciate, again, he's honest about it. Yeah, I did this.
Yep.
I did this. Is that so hard, really? I did this.
It might be easier in your second term.
I think it's worth it. Right. I think it's worth it. Politicians will never do that. I said with Jay Inslee, fine with your climate grift, but just say, yes, gas prices will go up, but I think it's worth it. But no, and so he's like, no, pennies, it'll increase pennies. And he lied through his teeth until the day he left office. Shameful man.
Been pretty quiet is the governor, because people are recommending a tax holiday for us to bring them down a little bit. So he has not been criticizing Trump much about the gas prices, because he doesn't want to be pushed on giving us a little break from that.
Well, he doesn't want to. I don't even think it's that he doesn't want. He would do it if it was Biden.
Right.
If Biden was in office and gas prices were there, he would do a tax holiday. But he won't, because he wants Trump to suffer during the midterms.
People to
feel it. It's all political. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. All right. There was another debate for California governor. I'm so fascinated. Why do you think, more than like any other state, the California politics get so much attention? Is it because it's so crazy, or the state's so big?
I think both
people
of those.
People are glued to it, right? Glued to it.
And I think that the people running end up becoming their own celebrities, where we don't hear about all of these positions in other states necessarily, but they become celebrities because they're in the celebrity state, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there was a debate with the leading candidates, and it was co-moderated by Caitlin Collins and then Elix Michelson. And I like that they had Elix do it. Elix was a longtime local reporter in L.A. for the Fox affiliate there. And then he got hired by CNN, and he does a show now at night. So him and Caitlin Collins did the debate. And Caitlin Collins asked lunatic Katie Porter about, after the shooting at the White House Correspondents Association dinner, Katie Porter the next day put out this fundraising email that said, like, F Trump. Yeah, you heard me. F, but it was like F-U-C-K Trump. And so Caitlin Collins asked her about that.
Congresswoman Porter, you recently put out an email, a fundraising email, with the subject line F Trump. And you're not censoring it like I am right now. And you went on to say, quote, that's right, F Trump. Together, we're going to kick Trump's ass in November. Will F Trump be your guiding principle in dealing with the president?
When Donald Trump hurts California, as he has again and again, then I will absolutely stand up to him. 100%. He has denied wildfire funding to help disaster victims here in California. He has made it clear that he is seeking to specifically punish California in canceling green energy projects here that create good, high-paying jobs while he's allowing them to continue in other states. We absolutely have to be clear about the risk that Donald Trump presents to Californians and to our economy and to our ability to change California for the better. So if he's going to attack California, yeah, F him.
Oh, so edgy. So edgy, Katie Porter. You can talk about the ways you think he threatens California without the day after somebody tried to assassinate him saying F Trump in a fundraising email, but I wouldn't expect any better from her. Candidates were also asked about whether the state should provide health care for illegal aliens.
Congresswoman Porter, your thoughts on the idea of funding health care for undocumented immigrants statewide?
Yes.
On the question of health care for the undocumented,
I said everybody in California
so you would
has a right to health care. And let's
and
answer
California
this.
Else. Should fund that.
The truth of the matter is, immigrants built this state. Immigrants make this state run. Yeah.
Legal.
The fact of the matter is, we had a broken immigration system, and now you want to victimize the people who are working here and making the state run.
Thank you,
As
sir.
Antonio said, try and get rid of them. You can't do it.
Okay, I'm not saying immigrants haven't contributed to California or any other state. We're not talking about immigrants. We're talking about illegal aliens, and they know that. They just want to have their little sentences and pretend that people won't dig any deeper. Steve Hilton called out Democrats who are running for governor for their Trump obsession.
It's not Donald Trump who's given us gas prices $2 higher than the rest of the country. It's Democrat policies, which Antonia and all the Democrats here support. It's not Donald Trump that's given us the highest housing costs in the country. It's Democrat policies that all these Democrats support. Donald Trump is the president in all the other states of America where the cost of living is way lower than in California. Obviously, it is way past time for change in California, and endlessly going on about Donald Trump doesn't serve the needs of the struggling families and small businesses.
Yeah, and I just worry for all these politicians what they're going to do when Trump leaves office. I mean, we're going to have to check them into insane asylums because they just won't know where to direct their TDS that will linger on for years and years and years. I just wish voters would wake up to that. I don't care if you vote for a Democrat, but voting for a Democrat that is a proven failure, and this goes for really a lot of different states, proven failure, can't govern, has no regard for your hard-earned taxpayer money, will lie to you about the cause of high gas prices, etc. Like, Democrats can't find people better than that. They can't find people better than that because those are the only people they elect. All right, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. First, why do I use so many accents on the show? I don't know. If you're thinking about leaving the state or you just want to move to a different city, but, you know, I think Wes Jones has been dealing with a lot of clients lately who are moving to Texas, Florida, Tennessee, etc. So if you're one of them, I don't want you to go. But if you are going to go, reach out to Wes Jones and he can help you make the process as simple as possible. Wes and his team at sellwithwes.com get a ton of great reviews. Evan W. says, it was a tough multifamily transaction with a buyer who was often unreasonable and difficult. Wes stayed professional, kept the deal together, and pushed it to the finish line when it could have easily blown up. That takes experience and grit. I appreciate the effort and look forward to the next deal. 5 stars. Love that. Wes, his website is a great tool, I think, for a lot of different reasons. There's some free things on there that you can just go in and do, like check the value of your house using their home value calculator. You can peruse some of the recent listings that Wes has been able to sell for clients just to see what he's been able to accomplish for them. But I think the best thing that you should do, especially as a lot more houses are hitting the market, is ask Wes for a free market analysis. He'll just give you the lay of the land, like, hey, here's, you know, we're having an increase in listings. Here's what that could mean for the value of your home. Here's what it could mean for the time that it might take to sell your home. That's particularly important if you're like trying to get out of state. The timing is going to be a big thing. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, let's see what the homies are up to on the live chat, shall we? You know what's really funny is we've been having this promo, 30% off. We do it once a year. And I've seen some familiar names from like the YouTube chats and the other chats finally sign up for Undivided.
Oh, that's good to hear.
We love to hear that. Welcome, welcome. On the Streets with Show Part Dose, Admin Scott says, Suckaddle will hurt people to look better on camera. It's not about reality. It's about perception. Right. Just out of sight. It's like when I'm about to have guests over and I just put things in bins. In closets.
Yeah. I do feel like they're in panic mode.
I remember one
time. Flight of the Bumblebees.
Long time before I met my husband. I was having a date over. And it was like a second date. Was going to make dinner. And I just used a bunch of pots and pans and stuff to make dinner. Because I was getting a lot of it ready. So I just shoved all these. And I didn't want to do my dishes.
So I just shoved them all in the
dishwasher,
right? And it was like packed with dirty, smelly dishes.
Not rinsed.
And then not rinsed or anything. And he was looking for a cup or something. He's like, oh, are there any here? Opened it up. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. It's all right. It's a good thing it didn't work out because I also wouldn't have found my husband. All right. Nancy Campbell. I find it astounding that people live like this. So sad. Yeah, it is horrifying. That's what drugs does to you.
Yeah, that's your priority. Nothing else matters.
Chris Lundstrom, it's hard to watch this without getting pissed. I agree. I am angry. And I'm going to put both parts into a single part and post it so you can watch it that way and share it that way. I know. It's horrifying.
They should be helping them. They don't care.
No. H Bunnies, where will all the World Cup athletes be housed at? I hope they have security guards with them.
Oh, I'm sure the hotels will have high security. And I guarantee they're going to stay in Bellevue. Right now, you have a game at UW, you stay in Bellevue.
They're going to stay in Bellevue. I agree.
The NFL teams that come to town, they stay in Bellevue.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yes, because Bellevue's nice. For now, Bellevue's nice. Drug injection lessons at the library. Dirk Diggler says, in a sense, the political left's attempts to silence ideas they cannot or will not debate are a confession of intellectual bankruptcy. Right. If you're not ashamed of it, you think you're doing a great thing, who cares if somebody's sitting there with a cell phone?
Right.
Now, if they want to say, and I can see this being reasonable, hey, can you just not film the other attendees? Can you not record the other attendees? Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair ask because they might be somebody who's addicted or who has a family member who's addicted and they're trying to like learn things. That doesn't bother me. So if they wanted to give Jonathan that sort of restriction, I think that would be a reasonable thing for them to ask. But just to say, no, we're canceling the class because we don't want you to ask questions and it's unhinged.
It is. It shows a lot.
It shows it tells quite a lot. It doesn't it? Why? Okay, if a library is allowing how to use drug classes, then yeah, they can privatize them. I don't want our money going to this. Deanne says, I changed my mind on the poll. This drug education is way worse than drag story time. You actually can go in and change your mind on the poll. So go in and click the other option. Papa Woody, didn't Obama promise free internet? I don't know. He got free phones.
I mean, I think that's a thing. So there are lots of ways to get pretty free internet, I believe. So
pretty free.
Well, because I think it's a write-off, right? Like Comcast, I think, has a thing where you can
for,
get
the poor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. OSD secretly investigates student-staffer relationship. De pluribus unum. All the evidence is gone now. Right. I'm not going to make the accusation that she deleted evidence. However, if she were going to, she had an opportunity to. She denies she's guilty. We'll see what the prosecutor's office has to say about it.
Make sure to keep an eye on Alicia's story because she's going to be adding to it, I think. Okay. And I mean, it's pretty crazy and it seems pretty bad. And the other thing is this woman has been on leave since last year.
Getting
she
paid.
Is still on leave. And that is after they chose not to file charges against her. So why didn't the school bring her back, right?
Right.
Well, they know.
That is a good point.
We don't know that it's paid, but we're pretty sure it's paid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the unions. No way it's not paid. Or it was paid for a good chunk of time. Maybe it's not now. All right, we're number two in gas prices. Nicholas says, at least Trump is honest, about expecting high prices for this, unlike Biden. John Lee, CPA, says we have a petroleum society, so this will affect store prices.
It will.
Yeah, it will. And I mean, I guess I've just gotten so used to expensive groceries. It costs so much every time I go to the grocery store. Like, you can't get out of there for under $50.
Yeah, I just try to be more selective. I'm typically an impulse buyer, I guess, and I just buy a bunch of stuff I think I'll use, and now I'm just being a little more mindful of what I'm actually going to use.
Yeah, and maybe it's old as I get older, I hate wasting food.
I do,
and maybe
too.
It is the price, but it kills me when I have something that like goes rotten, and I'm like, but Randy, happened with
especially
an avocado
meat.
The other day? No, it was an avocado the other day, and I'm like, no, because it's so expensive.
I always feel bad for the animals that gave their life, and then we throw them away.
For nothing. Oh, my God. All right. On the California gubernatorial debate, Oceana says, the wounds in California are self-imposed. Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. A couple other comments. SSR's Garage with a $4.99 super chat. I'm a day late, but Seattle needs the Rain City superheroes again. Phoenix Jones, where are you? Remember the days when we had a superhero roaming the streets, engaged in mutual combat with people?
Really,
so entertaining.
Feels like it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it must have been right. Wasn't it just before COVID when he stopped?
I think so. There's a great picture that a street photographer took of me and Phoenix Jones and his sidekick during one of the riots. I have to find it because it's so good. We'll end with Baron of Gray Matter. Rep. Pramila Jayapal just admitted in a briefing on audio aiding Cuba to get oil from Russia, contrary to U.S. policy sanctions and embargoes. Jail now. I haven't seen that, so I can't tell you the validity of that or not, but I will absolutely look at it.
Crazy. All right. Crazy times we're in, man.
Crazy times we're in. Nicole, thank you. We've got a great closing sanity check. So Marco Rubio, one of his many hats he wears for the administration, he's going to, I guess, help from time to time fill in for White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, who I believe already had her baby or is about to have her baby.
I haven't seen an announcement, but I saw that one of the two things.
Man, he's good at that. He's good at everything he does. But he was asked a question about his hope for America. And his answer there in the moment, I was like, I'm looking at the next president of the United States.
You've had a deep faith for God and country. At the end of the day, with all that you've been involved in,
keep going.
You've been extremely busy.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
As we all know, I got to ask you, what is your hope for America at a time such as this?
My hope for America?
And how do you personally deal with that?
Yeah, look, I mean, my hope for America is what it's always been. I think it's the hope I hope we all share. We want it to continue to be the place where anyone from anywhere can achieve anything. Where you're not limited by the circumstances of your birth, by the color of your skin, by your ethnicity, but frankly, it's a place where you are able to overcome challenges and achieve your full potential. I think that should be the goal of every country in the world, frankly. But I think in the U.S., we're not perfect. Our history is not one of perfection, but it's still better than anybody else's history. And ours is a story of perpetual improvement. Each generation has left the next generation of Americans freer, more prosperous, safer, and that is our goal as well. But it is a unique and exceptional country, and as we come upon this 250-year anniversary, I think we have a lot to learn and be proud of in our history. It is one of perpetual and continuous improvement where each generation has done its part to bring us closer to fulfilling the vision that the founders of this country had upon its founding.
Dang. Dang. Next president of the United States. Sorry, J.D. Vance. I mean, Marco Rubio is ready.
He sounds like it was written for him, but it just rolled off his tongue.
He is just very good at what he does.
So good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm seeing a couple other links and notes about this Jayapal story. So I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow. If you have not signed up, it's not a breaking news show, people. It's not a breaking news show. If you have not taken advantage of our once yearly promo, it's a good time of year for us to try to grow the show and to give you an opportunity to get a little bit of a discount, especially while gas prices are so high. Go to patreon.com/undivided, patreon.com/undivided, plug in the promo code USA30, and that's good for any of our tiers, our $5 tier, our $10 tier, our $50 tier, our $250 tier. Wow, 30% off any of them. That's about it. Anything else? I've been lingering at the end of the show lately. Nothing else. Yeah, I'll do a little mini part three of my adventure with Jonathan Cho tomorrow, because there's a lot of stuff that hit the cutting room floor that I think is also worth seeing. So we'll see you then on the live show tomorrow at noon. Goodbye. Waiting for me to say something profound like Marco. I'm sorry, I'm not Marco Rubio, okay? I have nothing profound to say.
Work on that.
Okay.